You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Sports Betting Preview Podcast from pregame.com.
Pregame.com.
Broadcasting straight from the Las Vegas Strip.
Vegas, baby.
With your host, RJ Bell.
I saw him on ESPN. Can I call Marco Daddy? VR seems wild.
Welcome to the Sports Betting Preview Show, a pregame.com podcast. This is your host, Marco D'Angelo, with my partners in crime, Vegas Runner and Steven Nover. And once again, Vegas Runner, he is playing hurt. We had the pregame trainer shoot him up before the podcast today. Those ribs are hurting. So my goal on this podcast today is to make Vegas Runner laugh as much as possible because it does cause pain, and I do owe him that. Steven, VR, how you guys doing today?
Hey, Marco.
I'm okay. Hurt, I'm not going to lie, but okay, I can't complain. I look forward to the podcast every week, to be honest with you.
Well, we appreciate you playing with pain. Yeah.
Thank you.
The true champions play with pain.
Yeah, I wasn't going to sit on the bench and have people question me like Tomlinson.
You make us laugh.
Because I got to tell you, unlike some of the coaches in the NFL, I don't believe in, you know, you get your job back, you know.
And I know this ain't even a playoff
game. So, if we bring somebody in and, you know, they do a better job, you're sitting the bench, you know.
Well, yeah, but with just baseball, this is like preseason and I'm not sitting it out. Week 4.
Maybe it's made you a better handicapper. Aren't you number one with Sports Monitor?
Yeah, and money one. Because I'm a volume guy. I'm never going to get that number one ranking in win percentage, you know. But to me, that's how I always kept score for myself when I bet to make a living. So for me, it was what's your account balance. That's the kind of year I had. If it increased, it was a winning year. So it was nice to see that money one, which is how I like to keep score. Number one in baseball. So maybe the injury has helped a little. Being pissed off, handicapping in pain.
Well, I know one thing. I've already cashed my first bet of the day because I took the under 2 minutes before we heard about your number one ranking on the podcast, and it came in at 1:55.
I love it. I'm walking around with the finger like Joe Namath.
Yeah, well, I did all the hard work there. I gave you the bounce pass in for the layup there. That's
Stockton and Malone, another assist.
I'm not going to lie. I was even waiting for that email from Ruth because last week I was number four like 2 weeks straight. I'm like, damn, dude, I'm not gaining anything on these guys, and I was having pretty good weeks.
You're the man. And I want to just take a second. Last Friday, VR and myself, we went out and we met one of our boys here on the Forbes.
That was awesome, dude.
R. Marquez, 33. We hooked up with him at Green Valley Ranch and two of his buddies, Kia and
really nice lounge, Brandon. Man. Great bar.
Great. We hung out, almost 3 hours. And I'll tell you what, I'm a little bit too old to be doing tequila shots, dude. Okay?
Yeah, Kia, that boy on play, boy.
You know, that wasn't pretty.
He's hardcore.
You know, I had to sit. I had to drive across town then to go
to
the Rio.
I'm so glad I made it. And honestly, like I told you, I have 10 friends here in town for a bachelor party. And they were here for a week from Thursday to Thursday. And I hadn't seen them because I was really hurting more. I mean, honestly, after I worked, after I left the strip, I'd go home and just lay on the couch and take painkillers and fall asleep. Anyway, to make a long story short, I was like, you know, how many chances am I going to get to see Marquez?
Right.
You know, a guy that I've talked to on the forum every day just about since I started. You know, he's been with me. And I'm so glad that I went. You know,
it's great. I mean, you know,
when he crossed town and saw them guys, that was awesome.
You know, this isn't bogus stuff. When we say that, you know, you guys on the forums and interact with us here at Pregame, you know, we do think of you guys as friends and family.
Absolutely. And, like, you know, partners in this venture.
When guys come to town, there's no other sports, you know, betting company in the country that you can get to meet people in that, and we really take pride in that. And when guys are in town, you know, I mean, everybody's got personal lives, but sure, when we can make it work with our schedule
and obligations, you know, responsibilities, sometimes it's impossible if someone's only here for a day or two.
We like to do that, and I've met many guys down on the strip, and you know, it's good to know our client base. So, you know, you guys come to town, give us a shout out, you know, and if we can make it happen, you know, we'll do our best to hook up with you guys.
Yeah, I've met a couple of G Ballard, I've met a few, and it's nice to put a face to the people that you
absolutely
talk to.
I met with Pick Six, one of our big
and
horse guys,
see that you're
a
human,
few weeks
you
ago.
You know what I mean? And
definitely, it was a good time. And again, the tequila shots, that's a little bit much.
Props. They're hardcore.
At least it wasn't Jaeger bombs. I absolutely cannot do Jaeger bombs.
And the young dude that he was called, too.
Yeah, Brandon.
Brandon was.
All right, well, we're going to get into the first segment here, and we're going to talk, we're going to go two segments this week. You know, now that there's no basketball and we've got a few weeks before we start talking football, we just got baseball to deal with. We're going to look at baseball. We're going to talk about a theory or a concept here in the first segment, and then in the second segment, we'll get into our picks. And I got a lot to say when we get into that second segment about the picks. We took a little heat on the forums this week, and, you know, we're not going to duck questions. You know, we'll talk about it. But in this first segment, you know, Steven had a great idea. He emailed me yesterday for this week's show and talking about baseball injuries. And to me, you know, how they affect the line, how Vegas adjusts for it. In a baseball injury, unlike any other sport, I think is probably the most important injuries, because you're dealing with a money line as opposed to dealing with a point spread. You know, I mean, I've been a big proponent whenever there's an injured player in football or basketball, I love to take the injured team in that first outing, because, you know, you get the team plays at a higher intensity level to compensate for the loss. Their opponent has a natural mental letdown. We've talked about this hundreds of times. And you're getting an inflated number, a point spread, because Vegas knows the public's going to run and bet against the injured team. So you're getting line value. But in baseball, Steven, you're talking about just picking the winner. You know, it's a money line. Yeah, you might be laying an extra 10 or 20 cents on the dollar, but it's still just the winner. How do you account for these injuries?
Well, I think some of these injuries, you know, can be overrated, like an everyday player, unless it's in like an Albert Pujols. You know, initially they'll make like a 10, 15 cent difference. I don't think there's a position player out there worth that kind of difference on a money line. You know, we had a great example the other night with Cardinals and the Mets, where the overnight was like around Pick'em, and then word came out in the morning that Carlos Beltran was going to go on the DL, and so obviously he wouldn't be in the lineup. 20 cent move to the Cardinals, and you know, that really kept me off the game. But I am looking to fade the Mets. But I've always thought with baseball injuries, 3-4 days later, bam, there's no effect at all. Beltran's still out, but there won't be that change in the line, because at that point it's forgotten about, but it's all wrapped into the line. And so I think if you just wait a few days after the initial fanfare kind of dies down about a key injury to an important player, you can get some value.
What do you think, VR? What have you seen on the strip when injuries happen, or do the sharps take a position right away?
More times than not, they know the move's gonna go up, the line's gonna adjust. So they like to get down only because it'll create a middle opportunity. So if they could get to a number before it was adjusted, based on the line move, yeah, your job as a runner is to hit it. If you hear, you know, McNabb's not going to play and the line's still 3, if you could get it, you know, you got to bet it. It's going to go down. They'll pick them, you know. So you have to do it even if you don't like the position, just because it's going to set up an excellent middle for you. I'm of the school that thinks the bookmakers over-adjust, the odds makers. And I think they do so because the market forces them to. You know, we create the line more or less by betting into it.
right.
you know, us as bettors, every bettor, the public, the wise guys, every bettor creates the marketplace. And I think there's a tendency to rush to judgment. This player's out, there's value right away, and they start rushing to bet it, and that's why I think the books are forced to adjust right away. I look to take a position like you and take the team that has the injured player, because when it comes to baseball, like you said, it's a money line sport, and the way I handicap baseball is try to project the final score, the amount of runs scored, because that's what I believe is the basis of baseball. The basis of baseball. You have to score runs to win. Whoever scores more runs than the other team wins the game. It's a pretty simple game. That's why when it comes to an injury, I don't think a player is worth that much to the projection. I mean, what's the best player in baseball worth? Is he worth a half a run a game to his team? So, you know, I'm able to adjust for that. Many times I do find value playing the team with the injured player.
Steven, what I would say in regards to the injured player in baseball, I think as opposed to the actual winning side in the game, I think there might be more unique situations with the over-under, because that one player is going to have a domino effect. If it's a power hitter and you take him out of the lineup, sometimes it's like taking two bats out of the lineup, because the power hitter is the guy that's the protector for the guy behind him. You know, the guy behind him always gets better looks because they're pitching around the power hitter. Well, if the power hitter's out of the lineup, now your second power hitter is the focus. It's almost like a double team in basketball. And I think that maybe they don't adjust the over-unders as well as they should for key players in that instance. What's been your example?
Marco, that's an excellent, excellent point. You automatically just think of the line, the betting line, and not the total. And the odds maker gets caught up with that too. Let's say, for instance, in another week or so, Manny Ramirez is going to be back. Let's say he happens to get hurt. He's back playing, so he's back in public mind, but he gets hurt then and can't play the next day. There'll be an adjustment on the line. Maybe he's worth a nickel or a dime. There probably won't be anything on the total, but just think of the total, how much that impacts it. Not only takes the Dodgers' best slugger out, but also a horrible defensive player and puts in a good defensive player, probably Juan Pierre. And so, you know, the total, it's really a great point you made.
It is. That's where the value is. And like I said, my approach to handicapping baseball with projections and a player being worth a half a run right away, from a 9, it turns to an 8.5 with him being out. So I think that's a great way to attack injuries.
Okay.
You have to – I'm sorry, not to interrupt, but you definitely have to in baseball – and Steve actually really helped me out with this. I learned a lot from him since he's come to the podcast. He's gotten me to follow this rotisserie because you get so many updates of injuries and players. And with baseball, it's so key because they play so many games. Many times it's not even an injury you got to be aware of, but the rest.
Yeah.
You know, they give these players rest, and sometimes they'll rest two or three of them together.
Especially
so
on a weekend.
They can hang out on the bench and have a day off and enjoy themselves together.
It's the day.
They're the key players.
Yeah. When they're, you know, a lot of, you know, managers have set routines. When it's a day game following a night game, there are certain players that just aren't there.
And you have to, as much as you love a game, be able to step aside if deep down you know that, you know, that is a big, if I knew that going in, possibly my work would have pointed to a different outcome.
You know, also, you got to really follow each team pretty close. Let's take the Minnesota Twins for an example. If Mauer or Murnau's, if they're not in the lineup, everybody knows that there could be an adjustment for those guys. But they're both playing now. However, they don't have Span is on the DL. Kubo has the flu. Punto, their second baseman, did play, but he was questionable. There's no line adjustment for any of those guys, but right. You take all three of those guys out of the lineup, you know, that weakens them. And so it's those kind of spots. And other teams, I just use them off the top of my head. But if you look at the other teams' makeups this time of year, guys are nicks and bruises. And if you can get a cluster-type thing there, there could be some value to fade over.
Absolutely. And one of the probably the most underrated-type players, like you say, are utility players or, you know, middle infielders that maybe aren't power hitters and are not in the the limelight. Because, I mean, let's face it. Everybody looks – when you look at stats, you don't look at fielding percentages, most people. They're looking at – you know, who's hitting, you know, what batting percentage and who's slugging percentage and this and that. And you get an injury to a second baseman or, you know, or shortstop and, you know, take out, some, you know, some key range in your, you know, your interior infield and you're playing a game on carpet, you know, that's huge. You don't have that range and, you know, suddenly you get two or three more base runners per game, you know. You know, those little hits find their way through the infield, and all of a sudden, base runners turn into runs, and that, again, affects totals. And, you know, I think that, you know, totals, and especially in baseball, I try to look at a lot of totals because you're not dealing with, you know, an overinflated line. I mean, you know, you're not laying 130, 140 in games.
I've been betting into totals lately, too. I found a lot of value with, you know, totals, getting a couple plus 105s, even monies.
Absolutely. And we're going to have a little segment here. Steven had a suggestion here before we started the podcast about, you know, each guy should get a chance to vent about something. And with totals, my vent's going to be what is going on with bullpens this year in Major League Baseball. It just absolutely drives me crazy to have a game if you've got a total that's 8.5 and you're in the eighth inning and it's 4-1 and you got the under, you're on cruise control, and yet these teams are like giving up four runs in the last, you know, couple innings in a game that was a stone cold under, all of a sudden's an over and you lose a ticket. It's mind boggling. I mean, what's happened to the bullpens this year?
But what's funny is sometimes you know it. Just an example, yesterday I had a 3-star on the under in the Pittsburgh game. That was my 3-star with Cleveland. My boys are at my house at night, that they up from Mandalay Bay. They all unloaded on that game. Okay, we're watching it. It's 5-0 going into the bottom of the eighth, and I swear to you, I said, buckle in. This ain't a lock. It ain't in yet. This Cleveland bullpen is going to be very dangerous in this ninth inning for us. They had all year, I've seen it. Mm-hmm. So you expect it going in, and it went 5-2, 5-4. Mm-hmm. You know, luckily it ended and it stayed under by half a run. But sometimes, you know, you handicap well enough that you foresee doom coming, you know.
I'll say this, Marco. My baseball record would be a lot better if they excluded eighth innings. Boy, I hate
inning
that.
Stretch,
eighth inning. Just hate
seventh,
it.
Have the eighth.
Well, I hate the seventh inning next to the eighth inning. Those are my two most hated innings. You know, because you can handicap starters.
Is this
and you
your
can
vent?
You can handicap starters is and closers. No, this is not my vent. Wait till you get to my vent. This is not my vent. But think about it. You can handicap starters. You can handicap closers. Now, I don't want to hear you can handicap setup, man. You really can't, you know. And that, there's that damn randomness in the seventh and eighth inning. That's where the luck factor comes in. Will these guys be good or will they be arsonists?
Yep. And then it's going to depend on the situation. Is he going to go to his left-handed setup guy or his right-handed setup? You know, where are they at? You know, you got who do you got on base and who's coming up? It's just crazy. Who wants to take their rant next? Steven looks like he's chomping at the bit over there.
After you, son.
All right. Well,
sir.
What are you smoking?
sir.
Well, this could take a while. Bubble
Kush.
My rant is the man I consider the worst manager in baseball. Now, there's some good candidates. You know, Hillman with Kansas City, Wedge with Cleveland. But you can get away with being a bad manager in the American League more so than you can in the National League. In the National League, you're really exposed. My candidate for the worst manager, and this guy cost me another bet, and he's actually factored into my handicapping now. When have you ever done that with a manager factoring into your handicapping? This guy is so bad. Cecil Cooper. The Houston Astros.
Oh, boy.
All right, let me give you a specific example. It's still seared into my brain how I lost this. It was Roy Oswalt's last start against the Twins, and he was plus $1.40. Nice price on Oswalt, who's, you know, pitching better now. I didn't want to quite take the chance on taking the dog. I'll play it safe. I'll take the run line. So now I got to lay $1.40, but I'm getting the run and a half, and I figure Oswalt will keep them in the game. All right, the score is 3-1 in the top of the eighth. Astros are the visiting team. Now, how do the Astros score? Can Cecil Cooper manufacture runs? No, he can't. The only way the Astros can score is long ball. Well, they get the home run. Now it's 3-2. The Twins, on the other hand, have a good manager. As soon as it's 3-2 in the eighth, he comes in with Joe Nathan. Mm. That's the end of the Astros scoring. Yeah. So now I just have to get through the bottom of the eighth. Astros will lose 3-2 because Nathan will shut them down in the ninth. I will win my run line bet with the perfect handicap of Oswald keeping them in the game. Okay, Oswald's over 100 pitches. He leaves them in the game. Okay, he gets the first two batters. One more out. One more out's all I need. Next batter, slam, base hit to the outfield. Almost a double. Outfielder made a nice play. The guy rounded first, but then he came back. All right, you got to get Oswald at this point. At this point, you get him. Out comes Cecil Cooper. Well, out came the pitching coach, not Cecil Cooper. And I'm thinking, all right, lift him. They don't. They don't. They let him pitch to another batter. Oswald's just battling on fumes. The count's 2-1, throws a great strike. Outside corner, but it's a clear strike. Ump blows the call. Oswald, you know, gives one of those expressions like, oh, you know what? He's mad. He's ticked.
Like you, right?
But anyways, Oswald's a competitor. He's a battler. Comes back, throws a couple strikes. The guy fouls him off. 3-2, they're battling. He walks him. He's at 125 pitches. Finally, Cooper gets his lazy butt out to the mound, and he doesn't pull him. He doesn't pull him, Marco, VR. He doesn't pull him. He leaves him in to pitch to Dalman Young. First and second, you can see Oswald's totally gassed physically and mentally. Now, at least with Dalman Young, he will not walk. He will not take a walk, this guy. He's the biggest free swinger in baseball. But I know he's going to hit the ball hard because Oswald has nothing left, and his moronic manager didn't pull him. So the first pitch is low. Young swings. I'm thinking, don't throw a strike to this guy. Mm. Second pitch comes in, over the plate. Young swings. Line drive. I knew it was going to be a line drive, but it's right to the outfielder. I've lucked out. He's hit it right to the outfielder. He's hit it right to the left fielder. So is it Carlos Lee, who's not a very good fielder, but he will catch anything hit to him? Mm. No. Who's out in left field? Probably the worst player you could have out in left field, Jason Michaels, who's more of a first baseman DH pinch hitter type. He's not an outfielder. Puts the glove out there, loses in the lights or something. Everybody scores. I lose my bet because of one idiot named Cecil Cooper. Thank you very much for listening to my vent.
VR, how are you going to possibly
You should have gone before me because you're going to be tough to top this one.
No, mine is just simple and quick to the point because, you know, that like I said, the last week has been tough on me with the injury coming back and friends in town and all this. So I've been busy. I haven't had time to be in the forums as much as I'd like. And I was just made aware of the conversation in the forums about the free picks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it kind of got under my skin a little bit because let me just explain something, man. We're not fortune tellers. And right now, we're talking about things that are so far in the future. I mean, you're talking about you're giving out a game that's 3 days away. You don't know what the line is. You don't know what happened the night before. Did they cough it up in the ninth with 8-run lead? You know, so you don't know the situation. I mean, to be able, it's different during the year when there's football every week. Mm. Or basketball or something. But it's very difficult to give out free picks right now on situations like that without knowing it on a 40-minute show. Mm. You know, that's just mine. You know, that's my little vent. Like, the show is more about concepts.
It is. And we're actually going to pick it up because that's part of what I have scheduled for the next segment was that post on the forums, and we'll address that.
Yeah, you know, I love the guys in the forum. That's why I could talk to them like they're my friends and family. And I'm just telling, honestly, like, we want to give good free picks and winners. And when we got them, like when it was giving out UFC and stuff, and when there's picks, football, we're all over it. So
absolutely.
We love giving the picks, and we take it so like serious. That's why it's difficult at this time with baseball because we do take it so seriously and keep our records. And remember, we were on such great runs for a while.
We'll carry that over into the next segment, and we'll wrap up this first segment. Great first segment talking about injuries and getting some stuff off our chest. And, you know, Steven, me and you, we still haven't got to go to that local bar here in town to watch a game. I'm a little scared if the game doesn't go your way here. We might get tossed out. Well, I might have to bring VR along for protection.
No, Marco, I can accept losing. If I've handicapped the game wrong, I can accept losing if it goes either way, you know, it falls in the mix. I thought I handicapped the game right, and because of one guy's incompetence, I lost that bet. That's what irks me.
All right. Well, that wraps up the first segment, guys. We're going to be back here in one quick moment, and we're going to look at segment two. We'll have a free coupon.
Marco, any other manager would have pulled the pitcher a long time ago. Any other manager.
Oh, my. We're going to have to hit the mute button here on Steven here in a second. We're set. This is the Sports Betting Preview Show, a pregame.com podcast. This is Marco D'Angelo. I'll be back with you guys in one moment.
For free real-time odds, lines, and scores, visit pregamelines.com.
Welcome back to the Sports Betting Preview Show, a pregame.com podcast. This is Marco D'Angelo with my partners in crime, Vegas Runner and Steven Nover. And this is segment two. It's going to be our final segment this week. We're going to talk some baseball action. And before we get into the baseball and some picks for you, we got some business to take care of. It is our coupon of the week. Every week we give you a free coupon for listening to the podcast. It's good for $10 off anything you want to buy at Pregame Pros. And at Pregame Pros, we've got guys on some nice runs, and we'll talk to our guys when we give our free picks. But Goodfellas up there this week. Goodfellow with his two-star plays for 2009, the entire year, all sports. This guy is hitting 61% on his two-star plays, and that's just phenomenal. Kudos to Goodfellow. And you can use coupon. This coupon this week is in honor of Steven Nover. I mean, that last segment, I mean, this guy went off. I mean, I tell you, you know, you should have seen his face. You know, he's red. He's, you know, he's ranting. You know, vein in his neck's bulging. He was upset. So that he can remember last week's loss, Cecil was the manager's name. We're going to go with Cecil 10 for this week's coupon. Cecil 10, that's going to get you $10 off. And you know what? Why don't you guys buy Steven with that so, you know, he doesn't feel so bad. But go to the checkout, buy anything you want. We got a lot of hot pros. Just when you check out, enter Cecil10, and you'll be able to take $10 off your order. And that coupon will be good through next Monday. And, Steven, at Pregame, we are a family, and we realize this, you know, venting section for you each week is going to be good because – those weekly therapy sessions at, you know, what $120 an hour to, you know, telling your therapist about it. And the problem is you're going to a therapist that doesn't even know sports betting. They don't know what you're talking about.
Well, the guys are kidding. I don't really go to a therapist. But by my family situation, I have a wife and two little daughters. So I have nobody to talk sports with, nobody to vent. And so this is like a catharsis for me. So I appreciate it.
No problem. And I said, you're allowed one bad beat a week. You can call me. I'll have the Marco helpline. You can call me 24/7. But just remember, I'm allowed to call back with a bad poker beat.
Right, and I know what Marco would say to me. Well, don't bet Cecil Cooper in the Astros.
All right, guys. Speaking of baseball, before we get into the free picks, I want to tell you, we had a post on the forums this week, and a guy called us out and says, hey, you know, you guys don't mention, you know, your free picks the following week. What you guys are doing, and, you know, what about the picks, and this pick lost, and, you know, guys, we're talking about a podcast here that we're doing for you guys where in baseball season – we're talking about games 3 days in advance. We have probable pitchers. We don't know what's going to happen in the games preceding because you've got situations where you don't know if the bullpen got used for 2 days in a row, if your closer's available that day. I mean, I had a play last week we gave out. I said take the Cleveland Indians at the Cubs, the game that Cliff Lee goes. You know, great play. The game's up 7-0. You know, Lee's on cruise control. They pull him, bring the bullpen in, and that was part of my, you know, rant last week. They end up losing the game 8-7. The thing about our podcast is it's not about just those couple free picks, because if that's the only reason you listen to our podcast, we could just do a forum post. We could put up a free pick the day of the game, which we do. All of our cappers put up free picks. Steven, you're there every day with a nice free pick, a nice write-up and a blog. VR's Twittering all over the country and putting stuff in the forums. You know, there's a lot of information. What we do here on the podcast is we teach. We talk about theories. We talk about angles so that you can learn from it and use it day after day and add it to your handicapping arsenal. That's what it's about. And come football season and basketball, when we do have tangible games and lines, we do give you a lot of good free picks that you can take to the bank. Guys, jump in. Tell me what you think.
Well, I'm going to stick up for the poster that was ripping us on the posting forum for doing a free pick. Now, is giving out a NASCAR pick, is that bogus? What, debatable. But you gotta understand that with no basketball or football, you can't really do baseball picks. I've given the opinion that we should just bag this segment until we hit football season. But instead, we're giving out concepts. And I'll use myself as an example of giving out bad short-term advice on this. I said, I said look for the Cubs to come back. And I said, fade the Nationals, Brackley, every time. So right after I said that on the podcast, the next couple days, the Cubs lose and the Nationals win. All right, here's the bottom line. The Cubs are going to win their division because they're the most talented team, and the Nationals are the worst team in baseball. They are going to finish with the worst record. So I think in that regard, it's a little unfair to come in there, you know, just after 2 days and say, oh, this concept's wrong. You guys are, you know, specifically me is an idiot. But look, we do appreciate the feedback, whether we disagree or not. And it's got us thinking, thanks to that post, maybe we should just discontinue these free picks until it's more of a better situation, where such as when football comes around.
VR?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, he's right. When you talk, we should talk about winners and losers. That's absolutely acceptable. And if we give a bad advice about a team that you should fade and all of a sudden it's kicking ass, yeah, we're way off. And it's going to happen when you're discussing sports. And there's a difference between actually taking an official position and telling people to go out there and bet it and talking about a concept to look to fade a certain team. You know, you're not telling them bet against this team every day, but look for spots to fade them. So even if they did go 5-2, them two games that they did lost might have been great spots to fade. Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is during certain sports and during certain seasons, we love to look ahead where you can, where there's already a number and you've already handicapped that number to give a free pick. And we take pride in it. And I always, my record, I mean, I used to remember come in I got a 3-star in my pocket for this week, you know? And it's just the time of the year, I think. And guys that have been listeners of the podcast since its inception, I think they understand that we've done that and given out picks.
Absolutely. And listen, guys, if you guys want us to talk about something specific, it's the forums. Get in there. Ask a question. We will talk about whatever you guys want. This show is to entertain you guys. We want to make you better handicappers. We want to put money in your pocket, however we can do that at whatever time of the year is. And if you got a specific question or a topic that you want to hear our take on, go into the forums, put the message up there. Hey, Marco, VR, Steven, we're going to answer you guys, and that'll build the show. So we appreciate you guys' feedback. And, you know, going into this week, what I thought would talk about in the third segment, it's the final weekend of interleague action. So we've got some data on interleague teams, and I was just going to bring some, you know, broad strokes to you guys' attention and talk about some of the teams that have been money earners and money burners. You guys can add, you know, your 2 cents on the teams and think, you know, if that trend's going to continue this weekend against the opponent they have, and just move from there. They're not actual picks, but we're just previewing, so to speak, the weekend, some of the series. The best teams that we've had in interleague action so far, and this is 2 years running now for the Minnesota Twins. They've been awesome. I've been cashing some tickets with them, and Minnesota's 9-4 this year. You know, we're taping on Wednesday, so going into tonight's action, they're 9-4 in interleague play, and over the last 2 years, they're 23-8. You guys got any comments of, you know, why, Steven, you're nodding, you got some info there?
Well, I think the Twins, it's such a foreign setting for a National League team to come into that Metrodome. It's artificial turf, it's a dome, and can we take anything from it? Well, we got a series going on right now with the Reds at the Blue Jays. Blue Jays, that's artificial turf, right? That's carpet. What's the Reds situation at shortstop? Alex Gonzalez is out. He's on the DL. They got Jerry Hairston, a utility-type guy, playing shortstop. He's fast, but he doesn't have the kind of fielding range, and he's playing short on carpet. So yesterday I had the over in that game, and I don't want to tip my hand, but those are the kind of situations in an interleague situation where maybe you can make some inroads.
Absolutely. Now, this weekend, they're not going to be at home. They're going to be at St. Louis this weekend, Minnesota, playing, on the road in interleague action. Do you see advantages there? Or do you think, now that Minnesota is, established as a good interleague team in the way they've been winning, that they, there might be value in going against them with St. Louis?
I think you have to break these things down. The Twins have a great interleague record, but most of that is because of their home record.
Exactly.
They're not that good on the road. So maybe you fade depending on the pitching matchup, their injury situation, and things like that.
I agree 100%. This Twins team is a team that you definitely don't want to be fading when they're playing at home. You could actually lay a nice price and turn a long-term profit when a team's 24-15. But their road record of 12-21, I mean, that's a telling sign right there of just how big of a home edge they have. And the one thing that I like to really that's helped me in all sports handicapping is when you see an edge like that, when you see that huge of a discrepancy where a team's 12-21 on the road and yet they're 24-15 at home, you have to add so much more value, so much more weight when they're playing home. Like where you might give a normal team, a team that's 500 or a little better than 500, maybe playing 55% ball at home, mm-hmm. you might give them 15, 20 cents for being home. A team with this kind of discrepancy between home and road record, I think you have to give them even a heavier price where maybe you shade it 40 cents. So therefore, I think you could back this team at home even when they're laying a little more chalk. And I think that's what their interleague record shows. That, I mean, no matter who they were playing, it's because they were home. I mean, this team is not a team I want to be backing on the road.
Another series that intrigues me over the weekend, and again, this is just conceptual theory. I think the LA Angels going into Arizona will be able to take 2 out of 3 in that series, look for the right spots in there. But the Angels have been a very good interleague ball club. They're 10-4 this year with interleague play. They're a sound ball club. They got good pitching. They got good hitting. They're fundamentally coached well. Those are the things that, you look at. Arizona, they're not that good. They've got a couple good starters, but they're not a deep ball club. I think that the Angels, are a good take to look in this series. Pick your spots, but I think they come out of Arizona with 2 out of 3. You guys have any thoughts?
I agree there. The Angels have turned it around from earlier in the season, if you remember. I mean, this is a team that's had to play with so many injuries to starting pitching. And I mean, for them to be tied for first right now with Texas tells you a lot. And the way they are playing right now, I definitely would figure they would win this series against an Arizona team who's just in the basement over there in the West. They're now 17 games behind the Dodgers, so they're not going anywhere fast. I would definitely say that the Angels take 2 of 3 there.
I really like Arizona's first two pitchers, Heron and Scherzer, but once you get into the second half of that rotation, Garland and Doug Davis, and they just lost Chris Snyder now. He went on the DL. So Montero, who's been catching all the time, he's a platoon-type catcher. He's used to full-time duty. We're doing this, like Markle mentioned, on Wednesday. Chris Young has been out the last 4 or 5 days. So that really hurts their outfield defense. Let's see if he comes back. He's had like a groin injury. So, yeah, you may have something about fading the Diamondbacks, but I don't like to step in against Herron and Scherzer. I really like those two pitchers. But the rest of that, I don't like much else of Arizona.
I tell you, the Angels have a really promising rookie. Sullivan's pitched good, two starts.
Yeah, we talk about if we don't talk losers, I'll talk a loser. I faded Sullivan. You know, I rode the Rockies last night, and they didn't get there. They lost. You know, they had a nice streak going. They're very hot. And, you know, I think Sullivan was a little lucky. You know, they kind of let him off the hook. But, we'll have to see. I like you said this on an earlier podcast, Mark, when it made a lot of sense. You like taking a rookie in his first start. But I think once these guys now have had a couple starts under their belt, I look to fade them.
At the beginning, I'm a firm believer that the pitchers that you haven't seen, they've got a tremendous advantage over the hitters. Absolutely. And until they show that they're going to go the other way, I got to ride, the young guys. You know, dating myself again, going way back. I remember when Fernando Valenzuela came up. I mean, I rode that boy hard when he came up. And, I mean, he was a freak. Nobody, his mechanics and everything. And, I made money that first year on him,
That's one out of 20 years, Fernando mania. How often does that happen? Let's use a more
Zach Duke. For the Pirates.
All right, how about this Orioles pitcher going tonight? And again, we're talking Wednesday. The guy, I think he won his debut, and he's lost his next four starts. He's got like over a 7 ERA. He has no AAA experience. You know the Orioles starter I'm talking about today?
Birkin.
Yes, thank you. For every Fernando, there's 50 of these Birkins. So,
But long-term, the concept with it, Stephen, long-term expectations is because these guys are unknown, they're most likely going to be underdogs in these situations. So remember, all I got to hit, I don't even have to hit 50% if every play is an underdog. You're going to be making that juice up in its long-term expectations.
Unless he's such a highly touted kid coming up like that Hanson kid from Atlanta, you're not going to ever have to lay a price with these guys.
That's one of my favorite things that I've been doing for 30 years.
I'm agreeing with you, Marco, on the first time out. Mm-hmm. But come the third, fourth, fifth time, that's
film,
what I'm saying.
When they have film.
Yeah, and they got a book on these guys. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Go against these guys.
Even more so when they face the same team the second time.
Until you're convinced that they should be pitching in the majors. Because how many times have you seen these names and they disappear? And then 2 years later, you'll see them in the bullpen or something. So until pitch at that level.
Another good example, though, last year, the San Francisco starter,
Lincecum.
Yeah, I mean, he was...
Well, he's the real deal. He's like a Fernando. He's badass. Yes, yeah.
Last one, and I don't even know if I should mention this team, but I gave you a couple teams that were good in interleague play. I've got a team that's horrible in interleague play. They're only winning 30%. Hold them down, VR. The Houston Astros. They're 3-7 in interleague play. They play the Tigers, this weekend at Houston, so you're going to get a fair price with Detroit on the road. Good spot to try to look maybe for Detroit. Oswald, if he pitches in the series, he's going to be a favorite. But outside of that, you're looking at Detroit as probably a small favorite in most of the games. Who else is good on that Houston staff? Rodriguez pitches good at home, but he's not he might be the only other guy to consider there.
The thing about Houston, though, that you have to look at and before really jumping to conclusions is that they were on the road. You have to look with this interleague records, how these teams perform in interleague play. You definitely have to go back and look, were they on the road or were they at home? Because especially with this designated hitter and just playing at surroundings that you're just not accustomed to, that you go once every 2 years to, it gives a big edge. So when I during this interleague play, just to pass it along to guys that I know listen that handicap their own games, always make sure you add more weight into them records as far as whether they're getting it done on home or on the road. You definitely have to pay attention to that.
I will say this about the Astros, and I wasn't kidding before when I did my vent. They are the only team, in the history of my handicapping, where their manager, this is baseball, is factoring into the line. When I start doing my check marks and all that, this guy to me is worth something on the line. Negatively, the Cecil Cooper is that bad of a manager.
He's not getting your all-star vote?
We've had some fun with Steven today. Well, guys, this has been a great podcast, and you know, thanks to you guys for coming in again. And guys out there on the forums, one more time, if there's something you guys want, tell us about it. You know, we're, you know, the free picks this week, you know, we gave you theories, and we're going to try this week. We want your feedback. You guys tell us what you think, and we'll go from there, and we'll be sure to put some free picks in the forums for you guys on game day. VR, what you got?
The buddy? Not the free pick that I said I was going to put out a blog on futures for Major League Baseball. Here's the problem I'm having, fellas, and this is why it's not out, and I fought myself for the last week and a half, but I can't change the conclusions I've drawn. I like the favorites in both leagues. I really do. I think the Dodgers have a clear path, and I think Boston Red Sox have a clear path in the American League. Right now, you're getting 5-1 on each of these. I just checked Bodog's lines right now, 5-1. I think that's great value for later. I mean, both these teams are definitely going to make the playoffs. You look at Dodgers, they're 17 games ahead of their last place team. So this is a team that's going to make the playoffs, doesn't even have their best batter in yet. You have Boston, who's shown they're the cream of the American League East. So I really think at 5-1, every once in a while, if you have a great week, little score, throw a dollar on split it up 50-50 on each of them. So when fall comes around and it's football season, you have a couple tickets. I did that with the Yankees back when they were real, that 2000 year, and it got down to where it was like 3-1. And whenever I was cashing a ticket at the sports book, I'd bet something on them, $100, $50, you know, $200 if I cashed a nice ticket. Mm-hmm. And I'd only get 4-1 odds. Some places I might get 6-1 when they were having a losing streak. Fall came around, and I had this little box filled with all these Yankees tickets. And here they are coasting, you know. And that's why I'm saying it's a little investment for later. And nothing better when football season's a couple weeks in and you have a bunch of tickets at 5-1 and your teams are alive in the playoffs. And I think both Boston and the Dodgers will definitely get you action when the playoffs get here.
It's like the VR annuity.
Yeah, more or less.
Well, all those Yankee future book tickets the last few years, you could use that as confetti. You
know? Yeah, no, not now. I'm talking about I did it years ago, you know, when they won that World Series. And not even they have to win, but if they get to the, you know, the championship series, which I believe these teams will, they only have to win, beat one team before they're in the AL and NLCS.
And after we get past the baseball all-star break, I'll start breaking down the NFL teams where the win-loss, you know, there's nice bets here in Vegas where you can bet team totals, how many wins they're going to have for the season. And I like that last year I put like 3 or 4 blogs up with that, you know, and they were all nice winners. And we'll start doing, you know, breaking that down as the teams
I'm
get to
you,
training camps.
What I like
camps.
About them teams, not to interrupt you, is they're even Dodgers so far ahead, 7-8 games ahead for home field. I mean, I think 5-1 is too much great of a price. I mean, who in the National League is going to compete? Phillies, St. Louis, you know, Phillies beat them last year, so I think this year Dodgers might have that edge. No,
the Dodgers may be a shoo-in for their division, but I'm not a proponent of baseball futures. I just think, you know, they got to win 2 series, and then they get into the World Series, and it's crapshoot. It's 4 out of 7.
I love
it's,
it because there's
or is it 3 out of 5? You know,
because there's a series, though, you have so many opportunities to get off your bet. You know, I don't. There's so
you can
many
run
game,
into a hot pitcher.
There's so many game by game opportunities.
You know, with the with not the money line, you know, you've got some hedge situations. If you get to the series and you know the Dodgers are up, you know, 3-1, you can take some hedge bets the other way if you want, you know, and get some big prices. But
I just think they've proven to me who looks for teams like in NFL, I looked for the Steelers and the Eagles that were getting really better odds, 15-1s and
higher.
Well,
that's football.
I've been trying to do that with baseball, looking at teams like the Detroits and the Mets, and I just can't convince myself that either of them come fall will be able to beat this Boston team or this Dodger team.
It's like
I may be wrong.
Well, baseball's like hockey, you know, with the hot goalie. I remember, what was it, 2001, the Yankees and the Diamondbacks in the World Series?
If you get a hot pitcher that could win two of the games in the series, he could single-handedly Shilling Johnson won the World Series
exactly.
single-handedly.
Just what I was going to say, the Yankees' superior team two hot pitchers.
Who could win two games each. That's a four-game series.
That's
it.
That's what happened.
Yeah. Oh, you had the one year when the Yankees won it where they had the closer. Who was the setup guy? Wetland. And,
and
you know,
he got
then,
the revenge. That year, you just had to get to the seventh inning.
Yeah, you
if
give
you
them a one-run lead and turn it over to those two guys.
When Rivera came in, you changed the channel and start driving to the book to cash your ticket.
All right, guys. Well, thanks again. This has been the Sports Betting Preview Show, a pregame.com podcast. We'll be back next week here at normal time.
And shout-outs to Marquez, Kia, Brandon, all the fellas. And Marquez, let your wife know, this week we started ahead. Last week she was upset we didn't get out of the gate ahead, but came back. This week we're starting out ahead.
Don't forget to send her that glossy 8x10 of VR sign. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.